shirt on and your brown coat too. Everybody's joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank Season 2.
Your inkwell-sized podcast.
Ooh, inkwell.
Inkwell, because we're talking about art.
Yeah, we are.
Well, we went to an art convention, DINK.
Yes. Would an octopus be an inkwell if he does his job well?
Yeah.
He's an inkwell?
He could be.
It'd be like a PhD in octopus.
There's squids. Inkwell. Squids ink as well.
Oh, yeah. Squids ink, too.
So it's DINK. We are not referring to Dual Income, No Kids.
Or an idiot in Vermont, apparently.
Yeah, it's slang in Vermont for meaning like an idiot. That's not the kind of DINK
we're talking about. This is a different kind of DINK.
Since for, strangely enough, Denver Independence Comic and Art Expo, which would be like...
Decay.
George Decay. But I mean, we'll get to that a little bit later.
That's kind of weird.
The thing I found funny is we covered DINK last year.
Yeah, we did. We did.
And we were under the impression, because we never get to cover a convention at its first incarnation.
Right.
I think we got lucky enough to do that maybe with Conclave of Gamers. I think we might have been at their first.
Right, but usually we're like at number 46 or number 47 or whatever.
Because we're only a three-year-old podcast.
Right. So we were going into this convention, and we're like, "Hey, how many years have you been here?" And everybody's like,
two. Like, "Oh, you're relatively new."
Really? Just like everybody else. Yeah. How
weird.
Very interesting.
We've done two as well.
Yeah, we've been here 2 years as well. How did that happen?
so
we had some interesting concept problems there.
But for those of you who don't know, which probably is not very many of you because our three listeners already know who we are, Guy is an artist.
I am.
And
by career.
By career. You do a couple of independent web comics.
Yeah,
and you actually started back when you were a teenager with your drawing. I like your story because you keep running into your hero at conventions.
Yes, I do. I keep running into Rick Sternbach, who was an illustrator for Star Trek. And
he did some Star Wars stuff too, I think, right?
I don't know if he did Star Wars per se. Oh, okay. I know he's done a number of things, but I think mostly he's been on Star Trek.
Okay.
I think you're thinking of what's his name? McQuarrie.
Oh yeah, that must be who I'm thinking of.
Who did mostly Star Wars, and then did one thing for Star Trek, which is what's inspiring Discovery.
Oh,
the U.S. Discovery.
I had these art prints that were exclusive type art print things that was done for A New Hope and Empire and Jedi. And
yeah,
there were like
those are McQuarrie.
10 to 15 different ones. They were beautiful. And yeah, I think I'm confusing the two.
That's the one where Chewbacca looks really weird
yes.
and different and all of the... Yeah. And the, yeah.
But well, yes.
Those are Ralph McQuarrie.
But
passed away about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It seems like it's been recently he passed away.
But Sternbach did a technical manual that your father owned.
Right. He did a... there was a book called... Star Trek Space Flight Chronology, which was sort of the history of Star Trek from the space shuttle. Well, from Sputnik, actually. From Sputnik all the way to the Enterprise. So, and of course, this was 1980, so it was long before Enterprise came out and long before we had had Next Gen and everything like that. So that book became non-canonized really quick. The history changed quite a bit. But it was all illustrated by Rick Sternbach, and it's beautiful, beautiful drawings and tech drawings and paintings, and it really inspired my style.
Were they all black and white line drawings type things?
They were line drawings, but there were also actual like acrylic paintings in there of the ships, which is sort of the way, in my mind, when I think of things, that's like the... I don't know if I want to like my fantasy style artwork in my head. Mm-hmm. It all is it's anyway, I don't know how to explain
it's kinda like Vallejo paintings but with spaceships.
Right.
Instead of women.
Right.
So
exactly.
Scantily clothed spaceships. Got it.
So yeah, it was
with gigantic engines. Nacelles.
That's beautiful nacelles.
Yeah.
Like the one that has three of them.
Wow.
Do you know? We don't judge. Anyway, so yeah, that's I keep running into him at the conventions. Although he wasn't actually at Dink, but he was at Starfest, which we'll talk about in a couple of shows.
Right.
When, from now.
At the time of recording this was just a couple of days ago,
just
which is why
days,
it's
yeah.
on Fresh in My Mind. And coming up in a couple of months, we're going to be doing Geek Tank the Road Trip.
Yes.
And we'll be driving from Colorado to Kentucky.
To visit White Castles.
Yeah, along the way. It's Guy and Troy go to White Castle, which will be very different than Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. But hopefully just as entertaining.
Yeah.
And Sternbach, I am saying that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Part of my brain wants to change it to Steinbach. Because
I think that might be a different, there might be somebody named Steinbach.
It's just, it's just my German part of my brain doing that. But it's,
your German side's kind of, I don't know. Is there a wall to your German side?
No, that came down a while ago.
Okay, good.
But he's going to be at the convention we're going to cover there in Kentucky, which I thought was interesting because you also ran into him and got to interview him, I think, at
DCC last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was really awesome.
Yeah.
But it's I did the tracing thing too, but I never really pursued art. But I think that's a great way to start is to find art that you like, lay paper over it, and learn kind of the motions of the drawing of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of us who do art started out in some way like that, just tracing over stuff.
And if you're looking to do that, they sell what's called onion paper, I believe it is, and also tracing paper.
Onion skin, yeah.
And it's very thin paper that you can see through nicely on stuff that you overlay to draw. It's more expensive than regular paper, but if you're trying to trace something that's color or paint, it's really difficult to see that through regular paper.
Right. Right. That works very well.
So you're talking about maybe one day being at Dink, trying to get a booth there.
That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah, I saw some really interesting outside-of-the-box artwork there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was that, what was it called? It was like the eternal drawing or something, but the guy had, it was literally 3 football fields long.
It
was just scrolling.
Right. He had created a special machine with engines and a turn thing to scroll continuously his art. And it was just
this beautiful
one long horizon type drawing thing.
Yeah, and it was a continuous story. And then there was that one guy who did a huge picture where the story was in the picture. Like the one that I was impressed the most by was the fish. And there's a huge fish, and it was a cross section of the fish, and you could see there was a little diver, and the diver got eaten by the fish, and then he swam around in the fish, and he did various things in the fish, you know. And it was like this bizarre where he finds a submarine in the fish, gets into the submarine and escapes the fish, you know, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So since it's a cutaway of the fish, you can see him kind of wandering around, and they numbered it, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so you could see where he was. So it was a whole story in one picture.
And then
and
there's the guy who
fascinating.
Then there's the guy who did the work by burning onto wood.
Right. He burned things into the he burned an entire comic page onto wood with a laser. And in fact, that guy was Daniel Crozier,
who we're going to interview,
who turns out is one of the initiators, the creators of Dink. So we actually interviewed him, and he will also be able to explain to us what Dink is all about. And I have to prep my 100 kilohertz tone because I think he's
colorful.
Interesting language.
He's colorful. I actually knew him a long time ago, but
was he colorful then too?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a really awesome guy. So you guys will most likely enjoy what's coming up next, and we'll go to that, I think.
Yeah. We'll go to break, and then when we come back, we'll start with Daniel Crozier. We'll be back after this.
Hi, I'm René Auberginois. I played Odo on Deep Space Nine. I've done Clayton Endicott III on Benson. Boston Legal, where I got to know Bill Shatner. And right now I do a character every once in a while on Madam Secretary. Look me up. Google me. You are listening to Geek Tank. Thank you.
So we were wondering what Dink was. So I, you know what? I think we should ask one of the co-founders exactly what Dink is.
You mean instead of asking somebody who is just a guest?
Yeah, and has no idea. Yeah, uh-huh. So we're here with Daniel Crozier, who is one of the co-founders of Dink. So tell us what Dink is.
Dink, as an event, is a platform for independent creators to come and exchange goods, exchange ideas, promote the a larger creative dialogue in a more intimate setting. Dink, as a word, of course, is Denver Independent Comic and Art Expo. Obviously, that doesn't really work. But we originally were going to call it Dink.
Nice.
Denver Independent Comic Con. And all our girlfriends were like, no.
Yep. Gotcha.
When did you get started doing art?
I've been doing art pretty much all my life, whatever form it came in. I'm sure it started, drawing on mom's walls.
Right.
Yeah, she was well-received. An early muralist.
So a lot of self-inspiration at that point.
Yes, lots of, I'm sure it was more faux finishing, fingering with my poo or something. Yeah.
Well, cool. who are some of your inspirations as an artist?
I would say one that stands out the most is Francis Bacon. He's my all-time favorite painter. My background is more, fine art and gallery and installation stuff. So as far as the comic book stuff, it's probably guys like Dave McKean, which explains a lot of mixed media stuff that I do. David Mack right now. I'm going to butcher his name, Bill Seinwitz. I never get that one right. I usually get corrected. And like you with my name.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it's just, it just doesn't work.
He's not here, so you don't have to worry about it.
Woohoo! Wait. growing up, Jim Lee, that was the guy that got me wanting to illustrate comics.
Okay, so my question is, how many Dinks have you been to so far?
Well, since we've only had two, and I'm one of the co-founders of Dink, so me and Charlie LaGreca, his brother Jeff, and then Jim Norris from Mutiny Information Cafe, we're the core four, and then we brought everybody else on board for the first year last year at the Sherman Event Center. This is number two.
Oh, nice.
So we're sophomores. We're moving up the class. Now we're over at the McNichols Event Center, and it's nice. We've been able to expand a little bit, and seems to be a little bit more of a cohesive community.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was totally wrong. I thought there were three. So there's been two. This is the second one.
What's that?
This is the second one currently happening right now.
Yeah, this is the second one, yeah.
He has that problem because we were at the last one too, and usually we don't figure these things out until after they've been around for a while.
Oh, okay.
And so generally we're not at the premiere opening ones of these things, so we assume there must have been 20 or 30 of them before the ones we got to,
No, this is just a more of a recent occurrence. Charlie was a co-founder of Denver Comic Con, and when he left that, he needed to do something else. So what better than to do a more intimate event where you can actually have exchanges with the artists and celebrate what they're being done, what they're doing as of their own. Can't talk these days. God.
That's okay.
Mother.
People look at the pretty pictures.
But they can, just their own projects, their own independent works.
I miss that about science fiction conventions because I started out going to really small ones.
You knew
everybody there.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of those now with the conventions in the thousands of people, it feels like you just feel so lost.
These things have expanded. I mean, Denver Comic Con was kind of that way, too.
Yeah.
And now it's this big box thing, and I mean, it's great for what it is. The families can come and, they can really, connect with whatever they're really into. And, usually nowadays it's going to be film and TV and, to an extent, sometimes the comics do fall to the wayside. But they're still there. They're still there to be discovered. And here it's just more of that. You know, come, discover, interact, exchange ideas, maybe bodily fluid. I don't know.
Anything can happen.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's sort of a thing.
Yeah. So, people have been remarking that I've got a lot of bodily fluid being cast over here.
It could happen there, too.
Yeah.
So I've got a question about your artwork. I'm looking around, and this is a unique thing. I've never seen it before.
Oh, thank you.
You have literally laser-cut wood.
Yeah.
Comics.
Yep.
And these are beautiful.
Oh,
so
thank you.
So what inspired you to do that? Because that's such a outside-the-box thinking process.
Yeah. Well, all I can give is the long-answered approach.
Okay.
My background is, you know, fine arts. Yeah, I have a BFA in sculpting, and it's more installation art and conceptual art. For a time, I was doing wood assemblage pieces, and I was incorporating illustrated elements to that. Now,
gotcha.
You remember MySpace.
Right.
Back when that was actually relevant, I would be posting images of that stuff on MySpace in small publishers, mostly horror genre publishers, who would come to me and ask me to do their covers. So, and that just segued into me doing sequentials. Illustrating on wood, hand wood burning on wood. And then I learned, wow, laser engraving. So I went ahead and started working with companies that do laser engraving and laser etching. And so we've been producing like my Mr. Skinsman series, which is, you know, all on laser engraved maple veneer.
If somebody wanted to find your work, where would they find it at online?
You can find me on my online portfolio, which is danielcrozier.daportfolio.com. You can find me on Facebook just by, you know, searching me. I'm usually, you know, pretty easy to find. I mean, the FBI, I'm sure, you know, is always, you know, just about to knock on the door.
If they would only just buy stuff.
If only, yeah, I'm fine with the FBI buying stuff. That's
and
fine.
If, just so you know, that's C-R-O-S-I-E-R when you look it up. Since I butchered it, I might as well spell it because I can do that.
Yeah. It's like General Crozier from Metalocalypse.
Okay.
Only I'm nicer.
So you say.
But that's true.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
And that was interesting, wasn't it?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we also met with the artist who did the badges.
Right.
And Morgan Bean.
I have to say, these are not just the art, but the badge themselves that we got, because we got special...
We got the special VIP badges.
Were made out of aluminum.
Yeah.
They're just...
I've never seen that before. That
amazing.
Was awesome.
Yes.
It was incredible.
Out of all my badges, the art's cool. I wouldn't say it's the best art, but it's definitely up there among my favorite arts that I've done. And then, but just the fact that the material that's printed on makes it that much cooler.
It really is. So let's go to Morgan Beam.
Great. Well, we're here with one of the artists. In fact, the artist who did the badges, as I'm aware, Morgan Beam. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Hi, everybody.
So tell me a bit about what got you started as an artist.
I assume just like most artists you guys probably talk to, I share a similar thing where I, you know, always loved to draw, grew up loving to draw. But what really got me into comics is that, besides just drawing, I'm also just a storyteller. That's where my real passion is. So that kind of walked me hand in hand into comics. It's something I always did for fun, and it wasn't until after I graduated from undergrad that I decided to pursue it a lot more seriously. So I actually have my master's in sequential art from the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Nice. Is this your first stink, or did you make it to any of the others?
Yeah, actually, I was at the last stink, which was last year's stink, which was its first year. I've been fortunate enough that when I moved back here, I became really good friends with a lot of the Denver comic community and scene here. I got to know Charlie through a mutual friend of ours named Lonnie, and they've just been really good to me. So, yeah, I was able to do some art for them last year and come to the show last year also.
Awesome. So what are your current projects?
I'm working on some extra really exciting stuff. I have right now a book that was just announced at Emerald City that's called The Family Trade, and it'll come out from Image Comics this fall. And it is, I'm illustrating it, and it's written by a wonderful team of writers, Justin Jordan, I don't know if you guys have heard of him, and Nikki Ryan, who are both fabulous. And then I'm also at the same time working on another Image book, which will just be a graphic novel that comes out probably sometime like late winter, early spring next year, with writer Jacob Saman, who's also a personal friend and great writer. So busy working on those two. They're really great stories.
Nice. I think I saw you're going to be at Denver Comic Con this year.
I am.
So if you want to meet Morgan Beam and see her artwork and get anything signed, Denver Comic Con would be the place that I think happened next here in Denver.
Yeah.
And I think you're also going to be in Phoenix
before that.
You have a really busy schedule.
Yeah.
And what website would they go to, or where would they find you online if people wanted to find you that way?
If you go to morganbeamart.com, and that'll connect you to any social media I have, but definitely where the bulk of my work is.
Cool. And then we have a question we like to ask all of our guests. Now, obviously, drawing is one of your passions, but besides that, what do you geek out about? What do you really just get involved in as a fan of?
Oh, man, there's so much stuff. Before I decided that I wanted to do comics, super seriously and professionally and came to the shows, tabling and stuff, I actually used to be a cosplayer. So that was a really big nerd passion of mine. Dropped a lot of time and a lot of dollars on that. And aside from that, I love movies. I love books. I love kind of storytelling of any format.
Nice. I could completely see the connection between drawing and cosplay with that. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you guys so much.
We will be back with more of Dink after this.
My name's Una. I'm with Nerd Necessities Network. You can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. This is Geek Tank.
There's a face that is yours, sudden and inevitable.
And we're back. So we were at this wonderful place called Dink, which stands for something horrible or whatever, or mangled. I don't even know what it was saying.
Well,
it was
you should
really
go back
funny.
To the beginning.
Go back to the beginning and listen to Daniel Crozier talk about it. But anyway, so we went on ahead and we had a couple of other artists we interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Neuenberg was an amazing sculptor. First of all, he was a normal artist.
Right.
Had a lot of beautiful artwork.
Two-dimensional art.
But
is there such a thing as a normal artist?
No.
Okay.
But a traditional artist.
Okay.
But then he managed to make 3D prints of his pieces of work that he was doing.
Right.
And he had them out there. And I was just astonished. And when I say 3D prints, he wasn't printing them with was literally sculpting them.
He sculpts them. He had beautiful sci-fi and fantasy figurines. And I love painting miniatures is where my art really comes out.
Right.
And when I saw them, of course, I was like, I want one to paint. But they were outside of my budget.
Price range. But they're beautiful.
They are.
So we interviewed him. Let's go to him real quick and we'll talk to him. Okay, we're still here at Dink, and I'm with Brett Neuenberg, who is a local artist and a phenomenal sculptor. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And I've got a couple of questions for you. One, when did you start being an artist, and why?
Oh, man, I probably started being an artist at, like, age 4. Ninja Turtles and Sonic the Hedgehog and all that great 90s nostalgia is kind of what keeps me going.
Nice.
Sort of stumbled into video games and then slowly worked my way into toys, and that's kind of what my world's all about now.
Excellent, excellent. How many Dinks have you attended?
I've been to all of them, all 2 of them so far.
All 2 of them?
Yep.
We were just talking about how we usually don't go to the first ones of these things.
Right.
We usually don't catch on until many, many months later.
Right, right.
Or many years later. So we were surprised to find out we've been to every Dink. So we've been coming up to people going,
so far, so
how
good.
Many Dinks have you been to? Well, 2. Oh, so not that long then. Because we had no earthly idea. Anyway.
So I'd like to ask you, what are the current projects that you're working on?
I'm sure most artists will commiserate with me on this. I've got probably 4 or 5, maybe 60, I don't know, projects just rolling around. Currently, I'm actually working on a lot of tabletop games.
Oh, nice.
It started life as a comic book and, kind of realized that a comic book was going to take me forever. So I'm trying to delve into the world a little bit as a tabletop game and get it out there.
Project that actually has an endpoint.
Right, exactly. That's called Tradewinds. I'm currently working on that. That's probably the biggest project at the moment.
Sweet. If somebody wanted to find your work, where could they find you at online?
BrettNeuenberg.com is there. You can also go to girlsandbots.com. It'll show you the same site. It's just a little easier to remember. Yeah, you can find all my work there, a lot of pinup art, as well as links to other side projects.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Well, by the way, real quickly, you do a lot of wonderful sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you make them? I mean, do you have a little... I know I asked you this before, but now I'm asking you online. Same question, which is, do you mold them? Do you have little molds everywhere?
Yeah, all my sculpts start life is a rough clay sculpt, and then I lop it up into pieces and make silicone molds from that. And then usually I'll finish it up in wax and then make a resin cast and kind of assembly line them and make my own little model kits. And yeah, that's
so awesome. Thank you so much for being with us
today. Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So I need to get a job so I can afford his stuff.
I know.
That's really the problem. It's not that it's, the reason it's outside my price range is my price range is zero at the moment.
Right.
But as soon as I get to stop being a full-time stay-at-home dad type person, and because my kids don't pay me any money.
That's our problem.
They are cheap.
You
and
know,
I'm a sucker, so I work for free for them.
We need to come up with like a union.
We should.
Like
stay-at-home
dad's
parents.
Union. Yeah. Right.
Not just dads, but moms, too.
Moms, too. They don't pay the moms either.
They don't. In fact, they don't pay the moms. They pay the moms 80% less than the zero amount that they pay the dads.
It's true.
You know.
Definitely need a parents' union.
Yep. But the next person, you bought some of her work, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
I bought her book because I'm actually a fan of hers from before Dink.
Yep.
But this is Amy Reeder, who writes a series called Moon Girl, which I'm very fond of. So
and so Rocket Girl was the other
I'm
one?
I'm sorry, Rocket Girl.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, and Moon Girl was with the dinosaur. I haven't read that one yet,
yeah.
So I'm curious. But yeah, so Rocket Girl. So we're going to go to Amy Reeder, and we'll be back.
We are still here at Dink, and this time we are with Amy Reeder, the creator of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, as well as Rocket Girl. Thank you for being on our show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So we're going to start out with our first question. When did you start being an artist and why?
I got into the industry 12 years ago with the Tokyopop situation. Like they had this Rising Stars of Manga contest, and so I just decided to drop everything and enter that. Like learn how to draw first and then enter into that. Like if you did a 20-page entry, the top 10 would be compiled into a book and published in Barnes & Noble and stuff. And Borders when it existed.
That sounds like a great inspiration, and that's a real trial by fire type thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was a really crazy time. And the contest itself inspired me to learn how to draw. So it was really cool that I could make it in.
Cool. So who or what would you say is your inspiration?
I would say that my biggest philosophy or inspiration is really just like people and figuring out ways to kind of control how they feel and have impressions of things around them. It's really important to me to take somebody from one spot and be able to move them to another place and have them feel the same things as I feel. So that's mostly my focus. Like, you know, that involves having good facial expressions, good acting, right? And good movement throughout the page and just a good sense, general sense of moment.
That's great. That's like the core of storytelling.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You totally got that down. This is a question we like to ask a lot of our guests, and that is, what do you geek out about? And that's kind of like the thing that you are a big fan of.
Yeah. You know, I'm not like the typical nerd, I'd say. Not that I'm not a nerd, but I geek out about random. I cherry pick. Yeah, like I'm a big Dune fan.
Nice.
But I'm not like, I don't geek out about a lot of the superheroes, you know? Like I'd rather make up new ones. I'm a big fan of cute things. And like, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, that whole nerd cute stuff I'm really into. And cool T-shirts that have interesting art on them that isn't actually related to, like, a fandom. Stuff like that. I don't know. I'm kind of a mixture. I definitely have, like, some anime inspiration in my art, even though I'm not, like, a major, like, anime fan. You know, I'm not on the up and up on that. But I just kind of, like, soaked it in as a child because there was a lot of things that we didn't know were anime that I just watched a lot and apparently liked. So, yeah.
Well, cool. Well, there is no wrong answer to that.
That's true.
Just to let you know.
Good to know.
It's something that we try to include all things in the geek realms.
Yeah.
And so that's why we find it interesting to ask people what they're into, because there's always a chance there's some aspect that a listener might not have heard of and then become interested in that.
Oh, true. I'll tell you that my favorite movie of all time is kind of underground. It's an anime movie called Unico and the Island of Magic.
I've not seen it, but I've heard of it. So, yeah,
I have
that is underground.
I have a Unico like pin on right now, and it's like that movie is like a major momentous thing for me. Like it defines who I grew up to be. You know?
Nice. And you'll just have to imagine the pin since people are just listening.
Yeah. So,
or go Google it.
Yeah.
There you go. Google is a verb now. Well,
and I'm a big Sailor Moon fan. Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
That's okay. Sailor Moon. All right. And then we want to, before we cut off here, I want to ask you, what are some of your current projects and how can people find you?
All right. Cool. Well, I'm currently working on Rocket Girl, which is my own piece of work that I work on with Brandon Montclair at Image. And it's pretty cool. She's like a teen cop from the future, and she goes back in time to the 80s to fight crime. And then also there's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, which I am a co-writer of and cover artist of. And I just barely stepped down from that, and I'm leaving it to the rest of the creators who have been working on this with me this whole time. Natasha Bustos is now going to be the cover artist. Brandon's going to just take over all of the writing duties, so it's still going to be awesome. But yeah, that's actually really recent that I stepped down from that, so I still consider it current, really.
And where can people find you online?
Oh yes, well, let's see, on Twitter it's at Amy Reeder, which it's R-E-E-D-E-R, and on Instagram it's Amy Reeder Comics, and on Facebook it's Amy Reeder Comics.
Well, great, thank you so much for your time, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, that was cool.
We'll definitely cover Dink next year as well.
Yeah, we'll be at Dink next year. So that was our coverage of the Denver Independent Comic Festival, Dink.
Yes, and be sure to stick around for our Ask Us Anything at the end, who we have a special question from Daniel Crozier.
Yes, we do. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank. Talk to us on Twitter at @RMGeekTank or Facebook at Facebook.com/RockyMountainGeekTank. You can always email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
You can find us on iTunes and Google Play. Please give us stars. You can also find us on YouTube. Just look for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank on there and find our channel, subscribe to it, and like the videos that you like.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis, reminding you not to taunt happy, fun podcasts. Good night.
So, Troy, do you still sword fight in the nude?
Well, so that's an interesting question. I'm going to leave that to you all.
We did
completely.
Say ask us anything.
We did. So I leave that to you.
Well, obviously it wouldn't apply to you because it wasn't directed at you.
Ask you, yeah.
So I'm not young anymore. So it's having matured, I find that it's just like making bacon. You don't want to fry bacon in the nude. You don't want to sword fight in the nude. It's if you have to, then as a last minute thing, you could do it. But I would advise people not to.
That's sort of your answer,
yeah.
Right there.
But it's being a long time improviser. If cornered, then yeah, that'll happen.
You think that'll happen?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was. And you can ask us anything by emailing us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.